is the question we must ask. How do you know when to fight? Or how do I fight? Or what do I fight for? Or is there a fight that's worth fighting or possibly dying for? When we think of the word fight, we picture two people confronting one another, or groups of people with opposite thoughts and beliefs. They're not hearing or listening to one another, and we think of battles having been fought or being fought, of wars past and happening today, and how they're expanding to the great dimension of world wars. We are taught by the world and those of it that it's now okay to take what's not ours, to lie when it's convenient, to cheat if we can, to lust after all forms of pleasure without thought or consequence. And we can slander one another without those same thoughts of consequences for our actions. We want what is not ours. We have not ourselves because we want not. That is, we are not wanting to do the hard work, to achieve, to pursue, to seek. We want everything yesterday and can't understand when what we want right now is not ready for us by the time we get done thinking about it. We've lost our desire to fight evil. We refuse to rebuke the ungodliness in our brothers and sisters in Christ because we ourselves have not fought a good fight and remained committed to the fight we ourselves committed to when we asked Christ into our lives and promised to take up our own cross daily. The world is now a great buffet for the culture of death. Oh, they boast of devouring the young, they abandon the old, they cast aside those they deem unworthy no matter the age, and they can be found sitting at the table of pleasure gorging on every desire that they feel entitled to. We want everyone to know our every pain. We refuse to let go of every threat of anger. We embrace the feelings of hopelessness, victimhood, and we refuse to turn to the Lord to acknowledge and repent of our sin. Well, how can I believe in something I can't see? People ask. Well, the people of Jesus' time, they saw him. They heard him talk and they watched him perform miracles, and still they did not believe. If seeing is believing, then why are so many today continuing down a path that is underwater and sinking more and more into the darkness, into the abyss every day? How do a people get to where we are today? I ask that question all day long, and the world will tell you because so-and-so did this or said that, or it could be this or that or any number of things. We can find fault for everything to be the result of someone else's actions, but what of our own? There are circumstances that you will find yourself in that may not have started because of something you had or anything to do with, but it's how you respond to them, how you react to them. That's your part. If we were to use a math equation to describe what has happened, that would mean that 90% may belong to someone else, but you own the other 10%. And so what will you do with your portion? What are you willing to fight for? How will you fight? When the battle or skirmish ends and the dust clears, will you be among the fallen? Will you be found complying with their demands? Will you your wound heal? Will you rise up and fight again? Will you have the courage and the strength for what the next battle brings? Or will weakness overtake you, and rather than fight for godly justice, you will hide and hope that someone else will fight, just not you? Will you surrender to an enemy who will give you no quarter, meaning no mercy to those who oppose their cause? What's happening today? It's a result of light exposing the darkness within the hearts of men. These are hearts that are deeply stained, they're dark and lethargic and cold, and in them can be found only short bursts of sanity. They strike out to conform what they cannot control, and the need for more and more and more is the thundering they hear in their ears, and a lustful desire strikes like lightning, destroying what isn't protected. Listen to the changes taking place today. Watch the actions being taken against what is godly, and look at the lives being lost by the unholy actions that are being actively pursued. Can you just stand there and say or do nothing? There is today an ever-widening divide between moral, between godly and social, man's justice, between God's laws and man's laws, those that govern how we should live. Morals concern what is right. It becomes a person's standards of behavior or belief. The 1828 Webster's Dictionary goes further to say it is the practice of the duties of life conduct, behavior in regard to good and evil. Some examples today: stealing, taking what is not yours, entitlement. It is silence when the lambs are being slaughtered, abortion and gender transition. It's teaching hate, CRT, teaching privilege, DEI, teaching that it is okay to do whatever it takes to get whatever you want. You see, those who are not fulfilled by their desires destroy the fulfilled desires of others. There is also something called ethics, which people live by. They are rules by which morals are lived out together. You could say that ethics are the fuel that run the engine, and the morals are the engine. Without fuel, without ethics, the engine wouldn't run, and without the engine, without morals, there would be no need for the fuel, for ethics. We observe today, as each man writes his own ethics code because he has his own individual set of morals. And we are more willing to listen and follow another that will lead us down a path of least resistance, because we want to be loved and accepted, and we don't consider the cost. Look around. How's that working out for us? Jesus said in Mark 7:15, "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." Lacking moral character, having lost or refusing to follow just morals and ethics, we'll find the following in a man's heart. In Luke 1:20-23, "What comes out of a man," Jesus said, "is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And all these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Yeah, we're influenced by what goes on around us. It is, after all, a fallen world. But on the inside of each of us is where the true battle rages, the fight to know right and do it or continue down a path of death and destruction. And how we will react or respond to that influence will be determined by how we have learned to fight and our understanding of who our leader is and who our enemy truly is. Not conforming to the ways of the wicked world, but embracing the righteousness of God means embracing the morals, the heart of God, embracing the ethics, the ways of God, embracing life, God, who is life. It means suffering for life, fighting for life, and the willingness to die that another may know life. Man cannot, nor will he change without the Spirit of God upon him. Today, the war we're in, the battlefronts we stand at are more clearly defined, and the question then is, do I join the fight? Today, the spirit of this world reveals itself in a Christian by the overcoming of quiet time, the excessive need for word time, the absence of prayer time, and leisure time replacing times of worshiping the Lord our God. You see, replacing these times are 24-hour cycles of whatever pleasure will distract and satisfy you, and the truth is being hidden from you. Distractions abound and crushed hearts are hardened. Unless a crack or a break is repaired, it will continue to spread. So tell them about Jesus. And do not judge or condemn your neighbor for the battle that he wages or is in, because without Christ, he stands condemned already. Tell him about Jesus. Do not fight for causes that will break a man's heart or spirit, for he stands mortally wounded already and is in need of a physician who can heal him. Tell him about Jesus. And do not forget that Christ and Christ alone can do what no man ever could or will or can hope to do. Tell them about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is fought for, he died for, he picked back up his life and won our freedom for us. Will you now come to him and hold out your hands to him and let him break the chains that bind you yet today? Let the His fight for you bring you out of the world and the darkness that surrounds it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Change begins in me and within you. God is a creator, and for something to be made new, His hand must be both in it and on it. And this prayer begins with God in our faith, our belief that it can be done and that only God is able to do it. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and also did confess the good confession before many witnesses. So yes, there is a fight we are to fight for, a way to fight it, and a reason to fight it. There is a time for calling to each of us. We are called to die for life, and we can thank God that He, through Jesus Christ, made a way for us to enter into the battle and emerge victorious. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord, for He alone is worthy.